I do anything else, I want to ask one question. So pay attention. Y'all usually pay attention at the beginning of the service. If you love America, I want you to stand up. If you love America, I want you to stand up. To my knowledge, everybody in this room is standing up. You may be seated. Today in America, today, we have the highest unemployment rate since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Our national debt is over $7 trillion. As of May of this year, America had over 40.8 million people receiving federal aid or food stamps. Business owners are threatening to shut doors or at least cut all employees' hours under 40 hours to remove any benefits to help save their cost. The stock market at the time of this message had dropped over 300 points in one day. The housing market is hitting the bottom of the barrel, and new home sales are at a virtual halt. Interest rates are at all-time lows, but very few can qualify for these all-time lows. Those who were building houses 6 years ago are now doing remodels and trim work on the side to make ends meet. Food prices are up, insurance prices are up, medical costs are out of the roof. Heating, electric, and gas bills prices are up, and they don't have any real sight in stopping in sight. Gas prices for our cars will soon be going back up, and if you don't believe this, you're probably delusional and need help. We have been engaged in war with terrorists for over 12 years now. And to make matters worse, on top of all the woes we've just heard, the Republicans lost the presidency again for another 4 blissful years of just wonderfulness. Title of the sermon this morning is, What Now? What now? What are we going to do? I've read and heard and listened to gloom and doom, and you know, what are we going to do? I mean, everybody knows what's taking place. What is it that we're going to do? Church, I really don't know what you're going to do. I can't speak on behalf of you individually. But I can speak for me. I can speak for me, and I can speak for my family. Turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua, chapter 24. Y'all know where I'm going. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Joshua 24, 14 says this. Therefore, fear the Lord. Why is that all throughout the Bible? I mean, you just about can't go, Brother Frank, to any book in the Bible and it does not say fear the Lord. Tony, do you think it might be because we need to have a healthy, reverent fear of who God is? I'm just wondering. Joshua starts right here. He says, fear the Lord. Therefore, fear the Lord and worship Him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods of your ancestors' worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and worship the Lord. Verse 15. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves, what does that next word say? Today, or this day in KJV, I believe KJV says. But it says today. In other words, Joshua is saying, quit playing around, make up your mind, make your decision now. Today, the one you will worship, the God your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates River, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and we praise you. God, we do it so easily and so well with lips, God. It's time for us to stand up and start doing it with our actions, our attitudes. Lord, our abilities. You've given us so much, God. Help us to return what you've given us in so many ways of service to you. God, I pray that you'd open our ears and our eyes and our hearts right now and be receptive to your word. In Christ Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now, church, again, I've got to say this. I can't speak for you. I cannot speak for you. There's some of you I wish I could speak for, but I can't speak for you. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how hard you were hit as you reflected this past week after the elections, after the news, and after you see people, you know, getting on business owners getting on television and saying, look, you know, I'm cutting jobs. I can't afford this. I know what's coming. We've done the study. We've looked at the statistics. We know what's coming our way. We don't have any choice. If we're going to stay afloat, we're going to have to do this, and we're going to have to cut this, we're going to have to cut back. I don't know how that's affected you. I don't know what the thoughts have been running through your mind. And a lot of thoughts have been running through my mind as they have yours. But I have to do this. I have to step back and understand what's important in life. I have to understand that God is the most important thing. Christ Jesus, what He did for us, what He wants to do in us, through us, and continually to do for us, is the most important thing in life. All hell can break out around us in this world. But listen, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you hear me? I don't know what you're going to do. I really don't. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Church, there are things that this and any government might try to regulate and make me do. They might make me try to do a lot of things that I don't want to do, like pay more taxes. Is there anybody in here? I just want to do a quick poll. Is there anybody in here who wants to pay more taxes? You just think, you know, I'm not being taxed enough. It's not fair. I want to pay more taxes. Anybody? Anybody? This is being recorded. Am I right? So, Mr. President, if you're listening, none of us raised our hand. Nobody wants to be taxed more. But we might have to pay more taxes. Listen, I might have to save up instead of borrow money, which I do anyway. But listen, no government can make me stop my service to the Lord. Do you hear me? Do you realize right here this morning, if you are not serving God, if you don't have some sort of service, some sort of ministry that you personally involved in, it's not the government's fault. Well, you know, I have to work so hard just to get... Listen, no, you don't. Can I tell you a little secret? The reason you have to work so hard is because you've gone beyond what you really need to have. You've had to have that house, you've had to have that car, you've had to have that this, that, and the other, and you've put those bills ahead of your priorities. Do you hear me? You've outsourced yourself. You have to work so hard 6 or 7 days a week because you've outsourced yourself. Listen, the government can do a lot of things and stipulate that I might have to do, but as for me and I'm going to serve the Lord. I am going to continue to serve the Lord. There was a time where I used to have to work 7 days a week at the plant. They used to call me overtime because I wouldn't turn it down. But you know what it did to my spiritual life? Yeah. It was in the hole. I thought I had to do this. I have to do this. Listen, no you don't. No you don't. Quit spending. Save and serve the Lord. We could say amen right now, couldn't we, Gary? Listen, all that's taking place this past week in the past years and 10 years and 15 years, it doesn't have to be the end all to everything. We have to today choose what we are going to do. Listen, nothing that could ever happen in this life could ever stop me from trying my very best to motivate my family to serve the Lord. Nothing. You see, he says, because as for me and who? My house. I am going to serve the Lord. Now, listen, Lord put this on my heart early this week. Don't think, well, he just went in his office and did this. No, I didn't. It's my job as a father, do you hear me, to motivate my family to serve the Lord. Do you realize that there is nothing... Look at me, nothing more important in all of your life than serving God. Nothing. Nothing. I don't care if you're a 4-star general who makes it to the President of the United States and you put your face on a dollar bill. It's not more important than serving God. There's nothing in my life, nothing, including being a pastor, that's more important than trying to motivate my children to serve God. Nothing. Nothing. I can leave them millions of dollars, which incidentally that ain't happening. I could leave them millions of dollars, all kind of land, all kind of property. I could leave them everything. But if I don't leave them a legacy of serving God, what have I done? What has my life been worth? Nothing. Nothing. I might as well have just spent it in futility. Church, Joshua said, he's in a time of you know, real contemplation as we are. He says, I don't know what you're going to do. But as for me and my house, I'm the spiritual leader. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Listen, let me add something else to this. Nothing that is man-made, church, will stand in my way of doing my very best as your pastor to try to motivate you as a church for serving God more. Nothing. Nothing. And we're on a roll. Amen? I'll be honest with you. It tickles your pastor's heart the way you want to serve God. You have a heart for this community. You have a heart for this area. And I think it's going to continue to grow. I really do. But please understand, if a time comes where I have to continue to motivate you, there's nothing this government is going to put on me that's going to stop me from doing it. You do realize that there's a time coming where messages that I've preached in this pulpit since I've been your pastor, probably going to send me to jail. Listen, Lord, I don't look good in an orange jumpsuit. I don't. But if it's the will of God, bring it on. Bring it on. I don't want to go to jail. Hey, listen, I don't want some man, you know, winking at me and all that. No. But if I have to compromise my values and water down the Word of God, it's not happening. I'm going to jail. Church, listen, I don't know what y'all are going to do, but as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to do the very best I can to motivate this church to serve the Lord. Amen? Now, let me ask this. Pastor, what can we do? You know, what can we do to bring about change in this country? We desperately need it. We've always needed change. We've always needed godly change. In my lifetime, you hear certain things, but, you know, we need somebody that doesn't just give it lip service, they actually do it. Do you hear me? We need somebody who doesn't just, yeah, I love God, I love the Lord. We need to see somebody who's practicing it on a daily basis. Pastor, what can we do? We can all be and do what God told us to do over 3,000 years ago. What is it? It's very easy. I mean, this message isn't a very complicated message. You know, I'm going to serve God. But God told us something over 3,000 years ago that we should all be doing. And if we did do it on a national basis, we'd be blessed. It's not hard. Do you realize that God's never made anything hard? Who makes it hard? We do. Well, I just don't agree with God. Well, you're in some big trouble. You really are. This is simple. What can we do? Turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. Some of y'all know exactly where I'm going. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Anybody want to take it? Guess at what verse? 14. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. And it says, "And my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their evil ways, and I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." Now, the first question I need to ask here comes from the end of that verse. Do we need our land healed? Does our land need to be healed? Is it okay the way it is? Does anybody, I don't think there's anybody on the left side, the right side, or standing in the middle can say, our land needs to be healed. We do. We need unity, but we need so much more than unity. Listen, we need Jesus. Second Chronicles tells us we need to pray. Brother Kyle, that sounds great. It sounds like a preacher's rhetoric. We need to pray. We need to pray. What is it, Brother Kyle, that we need to be praying for? What is it? Because preachers, that's what we try to motivate y'all to do. Pray, pray, pray. What is it that we need to be praying for? Number one, we need to pray for our churches to get back in the Bible. Do you hear me? What are you talking about? What are you saying? Bailey Smith was approached years ago by a group of people that wanted to promote getting the Bible back into schools and getting the Bible back into the government and getting the Bible back into this and back into that. He said, listen, that's a great idea. He said, I'll sign the piece of paper you want me to. He said, but can I tell you the first place you need to start? The church. The church. We need, as Christians, as we say we're going to start serving the Lord, we need to start serving the Lord. We need to start standing up. And we need to start understanding what the Word of God says. The people that we talk to on a daily basis who go to these churches with watered-down theology and watered-down gospel, listen, we don't need to go and just blow their doors off, but as we talk to them from a theological perspective, when they give us that mumbo-jumbo, you ought to be able to support what is true and what is right. Listen, we need to get the Bible back in church. We need to stand on the Word of God and say, this thus says the Word of God. If the Bible is out of the church, listen, it's going to have grave effects out there outside in our mission field. It really is. Well, Brother Kyle, what else can we pray for? We need to pray for our families to stop giving in to the wishes of our enemy and start living for the Lord. We do. We really do. Thirdly, we need to pray for the leadership of this country to accept Christ, the Christ that we know is the one and only, listen, one and only Messiah. We need to pray for our leadership on a daily basis, church. A daily basis. Church, we need to pray that God will protect our president and his family. I just don't know. I don't think I can pray for him. You better. You better. If something happens to them, I promise you, you've not seen what can happen to America. You don't want anything to happen to our president. You better pray for our president and his family. Pray for their protection. Pray for their salvation. Well, Brother Kyle, what else? What else do I need to be praying for? We need to pray that God, church, listen to me, just about done. We need to pray that God will send one more great revival across this land. One more great revival across this land. One sweeping revival across this land. We need to hear the sound of that mighty rushing wind that we talked about. We need the Holy Spirit to do something that hasn't been done in this country in a long, long time. Fill our hearts with regret knowing the sin that we've done. And it needs to start with the Christians. We need to feel and understand that we have sinned against a holy and a righteous God, and we need to pray that God will open our eyes and let us see ourselves as He sees us. God, what the world needs to see is us living out what the Bible tells us we should be. I wonder if the outside world is as tired as some people inside the church of seeing whining, crying, moaning, groaning, griping, complaining, people who call themselves Christians. It's time that we stand up, church, and start being the loving people that we were created to be. Amen? On a daily basis. But it needs to start in here. Do you hear me? With each other. Today. He says today, today. Not tomorrow, not next week, today. Listen, you know, me and the deacons, we've been having this conversation, for about a month or longer now. Do you know what a Christian is supposed to do? Keith, if I have a problem with you or something you've done, you know what, as a Christian, and this isn't my opinion, this is what Scripture says I'm supposed to do. If I have a problem if I have a problem with Keith, I am supposed to go to Keith and say, Keith, I've got a problem with you. You need to shave your head bald. Repent and pray. No. Listen, we need to quit talking about each other and start talking to each other. It's got to start in here. If it doesn't start here, it's not going to register outside the doors. Church, we need to start acting like the church that God created. We really do. America's got some problems. America's got a lot of problems. And just like that old saying, you can either be a part of the problem or you can be a part of what? The greatest way that you can be a part of the solution is start being the Christian that you claim to be. Every day. Every single day. Church, I'm going to finish this message the same way I started it today. Do you love America? Do you love America? All of you stood up. Do you love America? Then I want you to come down right now and I want you to pray for God to move one more time and bless this nation with it for His glory, not for ours. Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, we love You. Lord, we love America, and we know that You, through Your sovereignty, You brought each and every one of us to live in this country. And God, I thank You that I live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. God, I understand that through Scripture, the only way we're ever going to bring about change is to get on our face before You, get on our knees before You, and cry out to You, God. So right now, during this invitation, I pray that You'd break the heart of Your people and have us to do what we should have been doing from the very beginning, and that's to fall on our face before You and ask You, beg You, plead with You, Lord, to bless our nation one more time for Your glory. In Jesus' name I do pray, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, will You come?